Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of 12-star. Plus, I have a turn in congregation on behalf of 12-star. In the organization, today is January 26, 2023. Today is the fifth day of Adar, 2026. We start our first service today with a song and whosoever will. Whosoever will, shout, shout the sound. Send the blessed tidings all the world around. Spread the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the proclamation over veil and hell. There's a loving Father of the wonder hall. There's a every world made strong. There's a ever coming, need not delay. Now the door is open, enter where you may. Yeshua is the truth, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the proclamation over veil and hill. 'Tis a loving Father calls a wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, the promise is secure. Whosoever will, forever must endure. Whosoever will, is not forevermore. Whosoever will, may he come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Proclamation over there and here. Is a loving Father calls a wanderer home. Is a reprobate may come. And then we'll go into our study. We're going to read Jeremiah 51. It's talking about flee out of Babylon. Okay, it says, thus saith the Yahweh, behold, I'll raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me, a destroying wind. Kind Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. You may be blessed and cursed and watching through over us. Bless the reading of thy word, thou Heavenly Father. We pray in thy sinner's name for his sake. Hallelujah. Verse 2, Jeremiah 51. And will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her, and shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. Against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow. And against him that lifteth himself up in his bugadine, and stir ye not her young men, destroy ye utterly all her host. Okay. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that are thrust through in her streets. For Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah of his Yahweh, of the Yahshua of the host. Though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel is Yahshua the Son. Be out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity. For this is the time of Yahshua's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Yahshua's hand that made all the earth drunken, for the nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad, Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. How for her? Take balm for her pain. If so be, she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go every one into his own country. For her judgment reaches unto heaven, and is lifted up even unto the stars. For the Yahshua hath brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of Yahshua, our Savior. Make bright the arrows, gather the shield. Yahshua hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon, for the destroying it, because it is the vengeance of the Yahshua, the vengeance of his temple. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes, for the Yahshua has both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon the many waters, abundant in the treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. For Yahshua the host hath sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars. They shall lift up a shout against thee. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heaven by his understanding. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of the waters in the heaven, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with the rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasury. Every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity, the work of error. In the time of their visitation they shall perish. For the portion of Jacob is not like them. For he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. Okay. For the Yahshua the host is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. And with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. And with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman. And with thee will I break in pieces old and young. And with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock. And with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen. And with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. And I will render unto Babylon and unto all the inhabitants of the Chaldeans all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith Yahshua. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith Yahshua, which destroyeth all the earth. And I will stretch out my hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and I will make thee a burnt mountain. They shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for a foundation, or a stone for the foundation. but thou shalt be desolate forever, saith Yahshua. Set ye up a standard in the land. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare the nations against her. Call together against her the kingdoms of Ararat, Mene, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a captain against her. Cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillar. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, the captains thereof, and all the rulers thereof, and all the land of his dominion. And the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Yahshua shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. For the mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holes. Their might has failed. They became as women. They have burned her dwelling places. Her bars are broken. And one post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that the city is taken at one end, and that the passages are stopped, and the reeds they have burned with the fire, and the men of war are fighting. For thus saith the Yahshua of the host, the king of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. But it's time to thresh her yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come. Nebuchadnezzar, as the king of Babylon, hath devoured me, and he hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicacies. He hath cast me out. For the violence done to me, and unto my flesh be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitants of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of the Chaldeans, shall Jerusalem say. Therefore thus saith the Yahshua, behold, I will plead thy cause, and take vengeance for thee, and I will dry up her sea, and make her springs dry. Then Babylon shall become a heap, a dwelling place for pleasure, an astonishment and a hissing without an inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions. They shall yell as lions. In their heat I will make their feast, and I will make them drunken, and that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith Yahshua. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like lambs with the he-goats. How is Shishak taken, and how is the praise of the whole earth surprised? How has Babylon become an astonishment among the nations? The sea has come up upon Babylon, she is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land, and a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwelleth. Neither doth any son of man pass thereby. And I will punish Bel and Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up. And the nation shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Yahshua. And lest your heart faint, and you fear for the rumor that shall be heard in the land, a rumor shall both come one year, and after that, in another year, shall come a rumor, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the day is come that I will do judgment upon the graven images of Babylon, and her whole land shall be confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Then the heaven and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for Babylon. For the spoiler shall come up unto her from the north, saith the Yahshua. As Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still. Remember the Yahshua far off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. We are confounded because we have heard reproach. Shame has covered our faces, for the strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Yahshua's house. Well, that's the day the Jesuits have come in and taken over the sanctuary of the seventh heaven. Wherefore, behold, the day is come, saith Yahshua, that I will do judgment upon her graven images and through all her land. The wounded shall groan. Though Babylon should mount up unto heaven, and there she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, saith Yahshua. A sound of a cry cometh from Babylon, and a great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans. Because Yahshua has spoiled Babylon and destroyed out of her the great voice, when her ways do roar like great waters, a noise of their voice is uttered. Because the spoiler is come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. Every one of their bows is broken, for the sure of the recompenses shall surely requite. And I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her captains and her rulers and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep, and not wake, saith the King, whose name is Yahshua the Host. So it is right there, verse 57, Isaiah 51. I mean, Jeremiah 51, 57, I will read that again. And I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her captains and her rulers, and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith the King, whose name is Yahshua the Host. Thus saith Yahshua the Host. The broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire, and the people shall labor in vain, and the folk in the fire, and they shall be weary. For the word which the Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sariah the son of Neriah the son of Mesiah, when he went with Zedekiah the king of Judah into Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. And this Sariah was a quiet prince. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said unto Sariah, when thou comest to Babylon, and shall see and shall read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Yahshua, thou hast spoken against this place, to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be tested forever. And it shall be when thou hast made an end of reading this book, thou shalt bind a stone to it, and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates, and thou shalt say, This shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and it shall be worthy. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. That's Jeremiah 51, that is 64 verses. That's the end of that chapter. Let us now go to the Time of Reading, Volume 2, number 45. And it says, what is Christianity, and who may take a hold of it, and who may miss it? It says, through faith in Yeshua, every deficiency of character may be supplied. Every defilement cleansed, every fault corrected, every excellent developed. You are complete in Him. Prayer and faith are closely allied. Okay, and they need to be studied together. In the prayer of faith, there is a divine science. It is a science that everyone who would make his life work a success must understand. For Yahshua says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. He makes it plain that our asking must be according unto the Yahweh's will, the Father. We must ask for the things that He has promised, and whatsoever we receive must be used in doing His will. For the conditions met, the promise is unequivocal. For the pardon of sin, for the Holy Spirit, for a Yeshua-like temper, for wisdom and strength to do His work, for any gift He has promised, that we may ask, then we are to believe that we receive and return thanks unto Yahweh that we have received. We need look for no outward evidence of the blessing, for the gift is in the promise. And we may go about our work assured that what Yahweh has promised, He is able to perform, and that the gift which we already possess will be realized when we need it most. Education 257 and 258, as L.G. Watts writing. End of the prayer thought. Let's go now into our regular study. What is Christianity, and who makes may take a hold of it, and who may miss it? It says, this is a text of address of E.T. Hollis, March the 25th, 1950. I was 12 years old when this came out. True Christianity is a growth. It is plant-like. Yahshua Himself is represented as a branch, Isaiah 11:1, and His kingdom as a mustard seed. So we represent that kingdom, Matthew 13:31 and 32, which after it is planted becomes a tree, the greatest of its kind. But since the literal tree must necessarily feed on the physical food, likewise the spiritual tree must necessarily feed on the spiritual food, on such as the branch itself was fed. Therefore the Yahshua Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refute the evil and choose the good, as it is said in 14 and 15. Surely all of us agree that this passage of the scripture is a forecast of the Emmanuel of Matthew 1:23. Yeshua at his first advent. For the fact, however, that Yeshua ate all manner of the lawful food and was even accused of being a gluttonous man and a winebibber, Luke 7:34, eating with the publicans and sinners, Mark 2:16, makes it transparently clear that this diet of the butter and honey is not literal. Moreover, the fact that butter and honey possesses absolutely no virtue to endure one with the wisdom and will to choose the good and to refuse evil, no more than do other articles of food show conclusively that this butter and honey are figurative of something special, just as the fly and the bee of Isaiah 7:18 are figurative of the Egypt and Assyria. And what else could it be but of the spiritual food, the kind that builds up moral character, that makes one refuse the evil and choose the good? And from what source other than the scripture could such food come? And what else, moreover, could the honey represent but the sweet spirit of the Yahweh that blesses everyone? Sincere study and of the simple faith in the word manifestly, therefore, this butter and honey symbolism infallibly tells us that Emmanuel, Yahshua, was enabled to discern and to overcome sin by his study of the Bible, by the digesting of its contents and allowing them to become a part of him. This was the sweetest delight, as the symbolical honey revealed. Thus it was that he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. John 4:32. And it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Matthew 4:4. Accordingly, the truth is evident that Christianity is a spiritual plant, feeding on the word of Yahweh as unfolded by the sweet spirit of the truth. Consequently, if Yahshua are as exemplar, thus wise, increased in wisdom, and in favor with Yahweh and man, Luke 2:52, then it is even more essential that we, his followers, live on the same word, on the same butter and honey, if we are to possess a true, life-sustaining, life-preserving Christianity. Indeed, we are told precisely that in the next verses of the Isaiah's prophecy, as Isaiah 7:21-22, and it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep, and it shall come to pass for the abundance of the milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter, for butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. Isaiah 7:21-20. And these verses, inspiration directs our attention unto three butter producing creatures, two sheep and a young cow, and forewarns that only those who eat of their product will have the right to live in the land, and the land of Yahweh's people. None other No, not another one will be there. Since therefore only those who eat of the better, those who thus learn to refuse the evil and to choose the good, are to be permitted to live in the Holy Land. And all the more obvious it is that the better is figurative of the spiritual food, and since its source of supply is the two sheep and the young cow, it is of absolute necessity that we explore in the realm of this Bible symbolism to find what they are. For the two sheep of a kind and not young are manifestly symbolical of the Old and the New Testament. The word which enables its recipients to choose the good and to refuse the evil, and the cow being young and therefore of the latter origin than the sheep, and is also being of larger size than they, it can accordingly only be figurative of the inspired writings of the later origin and of a greater volume than the Bible itself. For the only such besides the Bible are those that bring unto us the testimony of Yahshua. For the testimony of Yahshua is in the spirit of prophecy. I always say, for the testimony of Yahshua is found in the spirit of prophecy. In the spirit of the prophecy. We'll get it right. Let's read that again. For the only such besides the Bible are those which bring unto us the testimony of Yahshua. For the testimony of Yahshua is found in the spirit of the prophecy. Revelation 19:10. For the inspired interpretation of the scripture. It is also to be noted that this butter and this honey are produced in the Christian air. How do you like that? Christian is a bad word. I always change it to the antitypical apostolic era. And that's the time that we're in now. And a time when both sheep, both testaments are in the existence. And also in the time when the spirit of prophecy is at work. Well, that's here in the 12th prophetic hour that we're in now. It's when this is more pronounced. And what is the spirit of the prophecy? Well, the same chapter and verse gives us the answer. And I fell at his feet, at the feet of the one who unfolded the prophecy unto John, for they're worshiping him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Yahshua. Worship the Father Yahweh, for the testimony of Yahshua is found in the spirit of the prophecy. Revelation 19:10. I added words that was left out by the translator that should have been put in there. More notably, prepositions and articles, which are the most important words to use in any English writing. Here it is seen that as the prophecies were unfolded unto John by one of his brethren, hereby was revealed unto him the testimony of Yahshua. For the spirit of prophecy plainly then, an inspired servant of Yahweh who bears the message unto his brethren, bears the testimony of Yahshua unto them. For the illustrating, let's illustrate. Suppose Yeshua communicated a personal message unto you by a messenger. Would not his message be his testimony to you? And should Yahweh endow the messenger with the gift of the Spirit to unfold unto you the prophecy which are in the Scripture, would he not be coming to you with the spirit of prophecy? Well, that's what we have right here. Spirit of prophecy. Thus it is clear that the testimony of Yahshua and the spirit of the prophecy are with the synonymous terms for a timely message sent from the Yahweh as the meat in the due season. For the spirit of the prophecy, therefore, is Yahweh's means of communicating from heaven directly unto his church on earth, as well as of the unfolding of the sealed prophecies unto her. As we have already seeing that the two sheep are symbolical of the Old and the New Testament, we now see also that the young child is symbolical of the inspired interpretations of the Bible. As the spirit of the prophecy in our day, it is now obvious that the product of these three creatures necessarily must become our spiritual diet if we expect to be led and permitted to live in the Holy Land, and that there is no use of our thinking to abide the judgment in some other way. And if there remain any doubt about this, then consider please what the Apostle Peter says on the subject. We have also a more sure word of the prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, and holy men of Yahweh spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:19-21. Did you mark that what inspiration says? It plainly declares that the Scriptures are not privately interpreted, not without the Spirit of Yahweh in the man, nor by the man alone. That would be Job 32:8. And not without Yahweh's own appointment. And the reason given, you know, is the very fact that prophecy did not come by the will of man, but by the will of the Spirit through the holy men of Yahweh. This, brethren, is the heaven's law and order. And here are we to change it, to put your trust in the private interpretation, is therefore to barter your soul to man. Concerning such a perilous practice, Yahshua commands, cease you from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Isaiah 2:22. As revealed truth is unfolded only by the Spirit of the truth at a given time, then for one to reject such revelation, meet in the due season, Matthew 24:45, is indeed to sin against the Holy Spirit, Matthew 12:31. Since it now is clear as the sunlight that the ever unfolding inspired interpretation of the Scriptures is the ever living spirit of the prophecy, with the eyes of the church at work, 1 Samuel 9:9, then to be without these spiritual eyes is to try to walk as it were in dense darkness, for the science of the process finds close analogy in that of the universally use of electric current. Electricity goes into the action only when the live wire, the positive, comes in contact with the ground wire, the negative. So it is that the church's contact with the Yahweh's chosen instrument, the ground wire, fused to the spirit of Yahweh, the live wire, which together represents the positive and the negative, is what electrifies the church, and thus opens a line of the communication between the church and heaven. In the logic of this illustration, it follows that Yahshua is the great dynamo, and the Father the power thereof. When therefore the whole church, not a member excluded, connects herself with the heaven's powerhouse, then the earth will be lightened with the glory of the angel, Revelation 18:1. For this very reason, the laying on of the hands is a biblical method of translating the Spirit of Yahweh from one person unto another. Consequently, a church not having this vital connection with the heaven is a spiritually dead church, one which is bound to be wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Revelation 3:17. Hence likewise is every individual who is not in the contact with the church. Only this power enables the individual church members to choose the good and to refuse the evil, and to go through the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. Accordingly, it is now seen anew that what is applicable unto the church as a body is applicable unto the individual members of it. For the obvious conclusion from these scriptural facts is that the only people who will be spared and permitted to live in the Holy Land during the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, Malachi 4:5, are those who make it their chief business and habit to feast with the delight, as the honey denotes, on the product of the three brother producing creatures. The calamity which is to befall those who refuse the butter and honey, and the deliverance which is to come unto those who feed upon it, is depicted by the Revelator in another figure. And the earth helped the woman, that is the church, the purified church, I'll put it that way. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, that is the wicked, the terrors in her midst, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. That's the purified section. That would be the 144,000. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now, if the remnant of her seed are your Gentiles that are scattered in all the nations and islands and all the countries around the world, with those that are spared, which keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua. For the testimony of Yahshua is found in the spirit of the prophecy, Revelation 12:16, 17, 19, and 10. For this passage reveals that the remnant, those who are left after the earth, swallows the dragon's flood, which is now threatened to do away with the woman as the ever-living church, are the ones who, as a group, keep the commandments of the Yahweh and have the testimony of the Yahshua. For it is then, not now, that the remnant of the body truly keeps the commandments of Yahweh, still has the spirit of prophecy in its midst, and is the remnant in fact, and no longer merely in prospect or in theory. Since this separation of the tares from among the wheat, the harvest, is one and the same work with the judgment of the living, then the only difference between the judgment of the dead and the judgment of the living is that in the former the names of the wicked are removed from the books above, whereas in the latter the wicked are bodily swept away from among the living members of the church. Not only the prophecies and parables here are considered, but also the pot, the atonement, Leviticus 23:27-29, including early writings, 1:18. Testimony of the Ministers, 2:34, teach the same truth. This is what the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, is. This is what the antitypical atonement is. That's a great controversy by Ellen G. White. She wrote that information, page 399, full 2. Great controversy, 420 and 422. And 428 to 430. This is what the judgment of the living is. This is what the purification of the Adventist Church is. Testimony Volume 5, page 8. This is what brings the end of the world, and this is what restores eternity unto Christianity. Under the particular care of a never-erring husbandman, Christianity, as we have already seen, is a combination of both the human and the divine. Moreover, with the use of the spiritual butter and honey, the saints are enabled to live a fruitful life and a useful life, even now, and thus wise, they are to survive the judgment of the Yahweh. So it is that while the Yahshua himself learned to refuse the evil and to choose the good by the use of this pillar and honey, his followers, who are now making sure to be left living and to be taken into the Holy Land, will even there, we are told, feast on the product of the three aforementioned butter-producing creatures. Here it becomes pertinent to inquire how early in the course of time did the spirit of Christianity originate. Thou that heareth the sundry times and in the divers matters spake in the times past unto his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Hebrews 1:1-2. For this scripture reveals that Yahshua is not only our Savior, but he is our co-creator as well. And that he created not only our world, but all other worlds. No, it didn't say that. It says, by whom? Yahweh created all the worlds. He said he created all the worlds by his son. You see, this is what I'm talking about. Even these prophets, B.T. Hall, being a prophet, he's re-quoting all of this. But he don't re-quote it. When he gives his comments are not in accordance with the scriptures. I'm going to read that from the scriptures again, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Yahweh, who at the sundry times and in the divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, by whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. This is the Father's in charge here. He appointed his Son, He said, by whom also he made the world. He used his son, by him he made the world as well. That's in 1 Corinthians. It says, this scripture reveals that Yahshua is not only our Savior, but our Creator as well. He's our co-creator, that he created not only, that he co-created not only our world, but all other worlds as well, and that he is one with the Father. It is for this reason that the Yahweh, as the Father said unto his Son, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Genesis 1:26. And while the Exodus, this movement, was afoot, all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was the Yahshua, 1 Corinthians 10:4. Clearly then, since the personality now called Yahshua has been with Yahweh's people even from the dawn of history, during the Old as well as the New Testament time, Christianity on earth identifies itself with the beginning of creation. Yes, sir. So Christianity, which began with the creation, Yahshua points out, is unto the world what the hen is to her little chicken. Oh, Yahrushim, Yahrushim, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them with our sin under thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wing, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Matthew 23:37-38. Christianity, moreover, is like a mother, for as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Isaiah 66:8. Christianity, furthermore, is like a father, for I know him, says Yeshua, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Yahshua to do justice and judgment, that the Yahshua may bring upon the Abraham that which he hath broken of him. Genesis 18:19. Actually, that should be using the Father's name there. It says, for the Christianity, furthermore, is like a father, for I know him, says the Yahweh, the Father, that he will command his children and his household after him, and that they shall keep the way of the Yahweh to do justice and judgment, that the Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him, in Genesis 18:19. For the Christianity still further is like a water well, for whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, said the Yahshua, shall never thirst. That the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. John 4:14. Christianity is also like salt, for ye are the salt of the earth, declared the Yahshua. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, and to be cast out, and to be trodden under the foot of men. Matthew 5:13. Further, Christianity again is likewise like unto a good home. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with the fair colors, and lay thy foundations with the sapphire, and will make thy windows of the agates, and thy gates of the carbuncle, and all thy borders as a pleasant stone. And all thy churches, all thy children shall be taught of the Yahshua, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Isaiah 54:11-13. Most essentially, Christianity is love, and walk in love, as the Yahshua also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and is sacrificed unto Yahweh for a sweet smelling savor. Ephesians 5:2. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 22:39. For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. In addition, Christianity is like the wind. No one except Yahweh and the born again. No either. Whence they come or where they go. For the wind, Christianity, bloweth where it listeth. And thou, the not born again, hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So imperceptible to the unborn again is the every one that is born of the Spirit. John 3:8. Accordingly, it is impossible for the non-Christian to know what real Christianity is. For this very reason, the Scriptures emphatically warn. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. Daniel 12:10. It says, let the sinner therefore renounce his sin, pray for the Spirit of the truth, and then understanding will come unto him. Seek ye the Yahshua while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. If the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Yahshua, and he shall have mercy upon him and unto our Yahweh, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are the ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:6-9. But Christianity is still more than all these. It is bread for the hungry, a home for the outcast, a wardrobe for the naked, a physician, and an inn for the sick. In short, it is everything unto everybody in the household of Yahweh, and here is a challenge unto its adherents. Is it not to deal thy bread unto the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out unto thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Isaiah 58:7. This challenge, brother, sister, cannot be met unless all wisely help and in whatever capacity possible. Remembering that no effort but that which demands a sacrifice is rewarded, because she gave her all, her living. The poor widows, Mark 12:41-44, too much did more than the dollars of the rich could ever do. Also, for the widow of the Sarepta used her last drop of oil and her last scoop of the flour for the feeding of the prophet of Yahweh, with no hope of ever getting more. There was only the prospect of starving, not sparing even her own son. Unto the contrary, though, her cause of the oil and her sack of flour never went empty. 1 Kings 17:12-15-16. And she and her son lived on. Abraham became the father of the faithful and a friend of the other, because he offered on the sacrificial altar his best and his all, his only son. Genesis 22:1-13. In his day, Joseph became the world's savior, and second only unto Pharaoh, because for the chastity's sake, he sacrificed his masterly position for a prison cell. Genesis 39:7-20. Moses became the greatest emancipator and general of all time, because he sacrificed the greatest throne in his day for the freedom of his brethren. Hebrews 11:24-25, Exodus 3:10. For the Job's possessions and families were doubled, because he patiently bore his affliction in the honor of Yahweh. Job 42:10. Samuel became prophet, priest, and judge because of his faithfulness unto his divinely appointed master Eli. 1 Samuel 2:18, 3:18, and 7:6. Elijah was translated for the choosing to be a fugitive for the Reformation sake. 2 Kings 2:1-11. Elisha was given a double portion of the Spirit of Yahweh for burning all the bridges behind him in his stepping into the prophetic office unto which he was called. Yes, he made it impossible for himself to go back to farming. Moreover, he faithfully ministered to Elijah night and day, and kept an eye on him until the flying saucer alighted to pick him up, and until he disappeared from sight. 2 Kings 2:9-15. David was made a king for making his own life, for risking his own life for the saving of the life of Yahweh's people. 1 Samuel 19:5. 2 Samuel 2:4. Solomon became the wisest and the richest of all kings for choosing above all else the gift of wisdom for the judging of Yahweh's people righteously. 1 Kings 3:11-13. For the apostles were rewarded in having their names engraved on the foundations of the holy and eternal city, because they counted not their lives dear for the gospel's sake. Revelation 21:14. Luther became the father of the Protestantism for the esteeming the Reformation of a greater importance than his own life. Henry Ford became the richest man in the world in his time for trying to do for labor and for the poor masses of the world more than did all of his competitors. Thus rises the great pyramid of the historical fact that the men who have made the greatest success of life are those whose efforts have been centered not in the selfish interest, but in the blessing of others. No one has as yet been able to change this law. Why should we then play the fool by trying to change it? Whatsoever your aim in life may be, if you want success, then let your efforts be directed for the good of humanity rather than for the good of self. But Yahshua's own admonition is, seek ye first the kingdom of the Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Now, this brings into our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call to hear this sermon. And now we'll close with a song.